Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mega release in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. LT, how you doing? What are you drinking tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Winchester bourbon. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing terrific. I am drinking a Harvey Bullock, which is Tasker's Scotch, Thompson Scotch, and the last of my Bushmills, which is called a Harvey Bullock, and it actually tastes quite tasty tonight. Mike. How you doing? What are you drinking, sir?
I'm doing excellent. I am drinking a Hefeweizen from Santa Clara Brewing Company, although I would like to give a nice shout-out. I was at Levi Stadium Field yesterday for Monday Night Football as the San Francisco 49ers beat the Cleveland Browns. And they have, I'm not kidding, a giant booth set up where they sell nothing but whiskey. And that booth has a line that goes forever.
Sounds delicious.
I wouldn't know because it had a line that went forever.
Forever.
I don't have that kind of time.
Well, Josh has all the time in the world for us. Josh, how are you, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, and I'm drinking a nice American brown ale called Bear.
Bear. Bear. Bear not name, bear job.
The Bears.
The Bears.
And also, Josh, I got to ask, what shirt are you wearing today? That is a cool shirt.
This is from the old course in Scotland. My wife went on a golf trip to Scotland, went to St. Andrews and played the old course, which by its name is, you know,
old.
It's been around a while.
That's right. I forgot your wife is an international traveler. She's a woman of mystery. Oh, my God. She could be the Black Widow. Speaking of the Black Widow, that's our topic this week.
Yeah. Damn. Master of the segue.
Master of the segue.
Josh, why don't you give us a little bit of the background of Natasha Elyasonich Romanov.
Close.
She has a middle name. I keep forgetting what it is, but it has an A.
Alyanova. Romanova. So she is Natasha Romanov, a.k.a. the Black Widow. She's introduced in Tales of Suspense as a Iron Man villain, where she is commanding and manipulating the Crimson Dynamo as he faces off with Tony Stark. Her first costume kind of makes her look like Elvira parading around as a Russian prostitute. She has short dark hair, a ridiculous Elvira cut dress, and some what are those things called? Like a boa on. It's not flattering nor very entertaining. She sort of sporadically appears as an Iron Man villain between then and really gets her remake from John Romita in Amazing Spider-Man 85 or 86, and really becomes – she sort of adopts the modern look that we all know today. She gets the sleek black costume. She gets the wrist bracers that at the time actually throw out filaments of thread. Sort of allowing her to electrocute people and swing sort of like Spider-Man. And she gets her classic red hair. So Romita really sort of repurposes her into the modern era. And from there, she gets a short-lived single series. They try to team her up with Daredevil, which lasts a little while, and then they throw that out. And she sort of trips and stumbles along through a bunch of things like the Defenders, and she teams up with the Inhumans, and she gets a smattering of – is it the Inhumans? Tom, you gave me a face there. But anyway, Anyway, you're on mute and nobody can tell, so it doesn't matter. So your opinion really doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
So off I go on my merry way down the road. And so she eventually does end up in and amongst the Avengers and really starts getting a little more popular through that sort of – that era in the – I believe it's the early to mid-90s.
Sorry, I'm still looking up the Inhumans.
Is it not the Inhumans? I read this earlier. I was trying to do some research because I was pretty sure I was going to be the slow one on the roll here. But if you don't know, of course, Black Widow is a trained super spy. She has she's an expert tactician. She's an expert marksman. She carries various gadgets. And she's really, you know, the super martial artist athlete mixed with the super spy.
And she's really cool. I mean, I enjoy her as a character. She's been around for a long, long time, going back to some of those early Iron Man ones. I think one thing that's interesting about the early Iron Man ones is she had no costume at the very, very beginning. She was just kind of dressed slinky. Then she had that ridiculous one that Josh mentioned with the short black hair, very Elvira-esque. And I like her modern look the most. And that costume is... awesome. But I'm sure everyone's
not
champions. That's what you were going for, the champions. Yeah. The Champions of LA, one of my favorite comic books, actually, because it was awesome. And it was also written by a friend of the podcast. What's his name?
Tony Isabella.
That's what I meant.
I'm surprised that she was named the Black Widow. I was just thinking, based on what her original origin was, she would be called the Honeypot. Which, if anybody's listening out there, is still an awesome name for a super villainous or a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all fallen for the honeypot at one point or another. Sticky, sticky honeypot.
I think you have a different definition of honeypot than I do. No, yeah. Wait,
maybe.
You don't. No. Now that I think about it, no, you don't. So the reason I really like Black Widow is not because of Scarlett Johansson's depiction of her in the movies, even though that is awesome. I like her because she can easily go from superhero story to spy story. And I think her spy stories are actually better than her superhero stories. If you get a chance to read any of Mark Waid's stuff on Black Widow, he had a series back in, I think, 2014, which was magnificent, where they show just how much of a spy she is, a super spy, much more so than a superhero. It's a good series. That's what I'd recommend for folks.
Yeah, one of the things Josh forgot to mention is not only did she team up with all these great superhero teams, but she was a long-standing member of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the day, and that's where she really, you know, got to use those really cool spy chops, and that was a lot of fun. But Tommy, what's your favorite Black Widow-esque thing?
Well, one of my favorites is a Black Widow Volume 1, A Finely Woven Thread, where it's a storyline where she does spy work and assassinations, trying to undo some of the bad stuff that she did as KBG agent. And that's a storyline from 2014.
I'm sorry, that was the KBG? Is that a different offshoot or is that a rogue agency or a...
It's WKBG coming out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Very strange.
I thought, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
They can fly, Tom. They just can't fly when they're frozen.
Damn right they can't. And what was it about that storyline that really drew you to? What was your favorite part of that one?
So it was just... Natasha kind of trying to atone for some of the bad she did when she was a KGB agent. And so she would take jobs where she was basically trying to atone, and she was taking out bad guys, taking the money from those jobs and diverting it into different charity trusts that she had set up.
Well, that's great. That's a good
And the artwork was really good, and it was an interesting storyline.
So that's kind of even going back to the movie where she is always trying to get some of that red off her ledger. I like that.
Yeah.
Josh, what's one of your more favorite Black Widow storylines, arc, threads, movies?
I kind of like her in the Superhuman Registration Act with Civil War. if you want a chance to, you know, revisit Civil War and go back and see why people split their alliances and allegiances, I found it interesting that she sided with the government after – I mean, I get she's an agent of the government in most of her life, but she's also been poorly treated by the governments in her past. And I was kind of surprised that she went to the Tony Stark side of Civil War.
As was I.
I think if you want to read a really good Avengers, she's a spy for the Avengers, you should check out Secret Avengers. It was a one issue. I apologize for not knowing it offhand. I think it's around issue 30. And it is really good. And it's just all about her trying to clean up Avengers secret stuff.
Yeah. For me, I really loved her run with the Champions of L.A. Not the first four or five issues. Unfortunately, those were kind of a mess. We didn't really get our feet under us until about issue six. But it's a really fun, odd, diverse team. She's kind of the glue that holds it together. At times, she is also the leader of the group. Which has happened a few times before, having a female leader. I believe, I think the Wasp was leader before she was, but I can go back and check at some point. But it was, you know, kind of fun seeing her lead the team and, you know, having, you know, people like the Hulk take orders from her. Anyone have any last little bits?
So I just looked it up. It's the Secret Avengers 2010 to 2012 series, issue number 20. By Warren Ellis.
I like me some Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
Warren Ellis. So, Mike, is she kind of like the Avengers fixer in that? She's like cleaning up people's secrets and stuff like that? That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, so she's doing the dirty work that none of the Avengers can actually do. She keeps the other Avengers clean.
Oh, no. See, I was kind of hoping that they had screwed up. And she was going out to – like she was the Michael Clayton for the Avengers.
Oh, no. That is not what's going on.
That would be a great issue, though.
Yeah.
Dear Marvel, if you're listening, that one's on me. Go do that. Write that shit. Solid gold.
I think you should say that because that actually is a very nice segue into my segment this week. Tom's 3 to 18. 3 to 18, Leon the Cleaner. One of the greatest shoot-em-up movies in my – in my mind, I rewatched
Professional.
Yeah, well, in the original was called Leon the Professional. It was claimed it was changed to the Professional. It was Leon the Cleaner in French. I love this movie. I loved everything about this goddamn movie. Loved this movie. I'm giving this one a solid 18. But I went back and watched it again. Man, does it hold up? It is still a strong, great movie. Anyone got a 3 to 18 scale for me on The Professional?
I'm going to give it a 14 just because I don't remember it that well. I remember liking it, but it didn't really change my whole point of view on movies or anything like that.
It really gave me a whole new kind of look on shoot 'em ups. They can be smarter, they can be more violent, and they can be deeper than they were for me. Tommy?
I'm going to go with 14 as well because I don't think I've seen the whole movie. I think I've just seen bits and pieces of it with you.
Wow. All right.
It's a tough movie for me. I mean, it's an incredible action movie, but at the same time, it's also incredibly creepy.
It is incredibly creepy. A young girl is terribly, terribly exploited from beginning to end.
Yeah. So, I just a, this is a action movie and you should watch this. And it's really good. I'm going to give it a 17. And if you have problems with child exploitation, I'm going to give it a 7.
All right. That's absolutely 100% fair. There are points in that movie that creep me out too. But I think that child exploitation angle is real. I mean, it's happening. So, you know, let's see the bloody, dirty, disgusting bits of it on screen for me to enjoy over and over again. I'm a creepy there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Tom took it to a very creepy place all of a sudden. I give Tom's creep factor a 16.
That's low. That's a low number for that. That's the lowest my wife's ever given me is a 19.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, Comics Talk, for comics fans.
At the front of the long box, I have something that you guys are going to love. Do you remember when we were kids just sitting around with our families and watching the Rockford Files?
I love the Rockford Files.
Yeah.
James Gardner was a detective who had really no detective skills whatsoever, but could pull a fucking U-turn like it was no one's business in the middle of the street. Every episode, he does a U-turn for no apparent reason. He just realizes, oh, I'm going in the wrong direction. He has connections
all over. That ugly car.
He has
that ugly car did amazing things. Sorry.
Yeah, he had an ugly car. He had a dad that he had to take care of. He was the kind of guy who would go out and have drinks with you, help you move a couch on the weekend, and then go solve a mystery, and usually get beat up in the process. He rarely carried a gun because he didn't want to get shot. I loved the Rockford Files as a kid, and I have great news for all you comic fans. If you want to read the Rockford Files, go check out Greg Rucka's Stumptown. It is, if you have a Comixology account, the first volume is right there. And if you don't feel like you have time to read a comic, go ahead and go on to Hulu or the ABC channel or whatever you want, because it's now a series starring Colby Smothers.
Colby Smothers. I love Colby Smothers. She was in Agents of she's one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also, How I Met Your Mother.
Go ahead and watch the preview if you don't believe me. It's just one scene of two bad guys driving a car listening to some Neil Diamond. And if it doesn't make you want to watch this series, you're dead inside, folks. That's what I'm saying. You're dead inside. This is a great show. It stars her as Dex, a combat veteran suffering from PTSD who can't get her shit straight. Who winds up being a detective just because she turns out to be really good at it, or possibly really bad at it, depending on how you look at stuff. But it is delightful. All the characters on it are not one-dimensional. They all have multiple facets. Even the bad guys have different facets to them. I've watched the first two episodes. It is on my top of my must-watch list every week now. And the comic book is also just as good.
I was going to wonder when we were going to talk about this TV show, because it is great. I watched the first two episodes, and it's fantastic. Even the special needs kid in that show is great.
Yes. And they don't – even the so Dex has a brother who has special needs, and even though – she does have, or he does have special needs, they don't play him off as just a one-dimensional character either.
No.
They respect him as a character.
Yeah. And every single character is great in that show.
Well, that sounds like a winner. I'm definitely going to watch that. I did see part of the preview for that, and the thing that went through my mind first was, you can't kick a guy that high in skinny jeans. That was one thing that went through my mind. And like a little caveat, I'm like, just skinny jeans, you can't kick someone in the teeth with skinny jeans on. Tommy, what do you have to go back in the long box?
In the back of the long box, I've got Joker's Last Laugh. This was a big DC crossover event in 2001, and it has its own 8-issue miniseries to it. In it, the Joker is in this metahuman jail called the Slab. And he finds out that he has a tumor in his head and that he is going to die within the next few months. And so the Joker, being a crazy bastard that he is, he breaks out of the slab in the most spectacular way possible. He finds a way to release Joker gas in the slab that turns all the inmates into Jokerized versions of themselves, and escapes from the slab with most of the inmates kind of under his control as the crown prince of crime, and causes mayhem wherever he goes. And it's up to the DC universe to kind of rein in everything and stop everything. And the slab is taken to a singularity because of one of the metahumans. And it's just an interesting crossover event. And, I haven't read all of it, but Tom, you will particularly like the Creeper issue of this series because it is brilliant.
Well, I do like the Creeper.
Yeah, you're going to like him when he's jokerized.
One of the very few superheroes who've ever pulled off the boa, the much maligned boa that Josh poo-pooed earlier.
Yeah, well.
The creeper pulled it off, though, didn't he?
I can't say for sure. But all short-haired right. Elvira Romanoff definitely did not.
She does not. That is true. But that's a little tangential to what we were talking about. Speaking of tangents, Josh, got a tangent for us this week?
I'm kind of circling back to your 3-18 and my own thought process after that. And I want you to think of, or if you can think of, something that you loved at one point and then through introspection or someone else's opinion realized was actually completely awful.
I got one right off the bat that bothers me to this day, and I can't unsee what I have seen. I loved The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as a kid. Huge fan. Read them. I devoured them. I was also a Catholic back then. And I missed everything that was about Catholicism, Christianity, and the C.S. Lewis's absolute despising of the Muslim religion. So going back and reading Boy and His Horse, Prince Caspian, all of those were talking about the poet across the sea, which is a very thin veiled attack on Islam. It just strikes me as so unkind. C.S. Lewis was I don't want to say rabid Christian writer, but some of his other writings in Christianity, including the Screwtape letters, which I still like, because it's not allegorical. It's actually talking about Christianity. You know, the vitriol that was hidden underneath in this children's story bothers me that, you know, we're using this as such an indoctrination for kids. So loved it as a kid. Don't like it as an adult. I like his real Christian writings because they're not fake. And that's my take on C.S. Lewis.
To find my answer to this question, people are going to have to subscribe to our Patreon and listen to, like, the past month's goat, where I've changed my mind many times based on Mikey's answers. And just where can they find that Patreon, Tom?
They can go to Patreon.com/TheLongBoxGuys. I can never remember which one. And subscribe to our page for only $1 a month. One cup of coffee, my good friends. You get an extra week of podcasts where we talk about the greatest of all time. We argue about some of the stupidest things you can possibly imagine. And usually, LT is Mike's puppet. Speaking of Mike, do you have...
Sometimes I'm Josh's puppet, too.
You just like being a finger puppet. That's fine.
Not this week. Not this week, Tom.
You did win 2 weeks ago. You've had a couple wins.
Sure.
Mike, is there something that just didn't hold water for you, just hold up under time?
There are a few, but I can't think of any offhand. I mean, the whole fact that Indiana Jones really doesn't do anything to affect the plot of the movie.
It does bother me now, yeah.
But actually, you know what? That doesn't even bother me because he was the one who figured out everything. The Nazis wouldn't have even got that far. So it's just the climax that's kind of, when you think about it, like he didn't really do anything. He just stood there and closed his eyes, which I think I'm doing right now. I have no answer to this question. Josh, what about you?
He was tied to a beautiful girl at the time. I mean, that's something.
So am I.
It's something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Josh, what hasn't held up for you? Who hurt you, Josh? Who hurt you?
Who hurt me? Well, clearly the professional sort of lopped this off for me, but as far as something that just hasn't held up over time. Well, I think we all know that the second half of Stripes doesn't hold up, but that's just going to the...
How dare you, sir? How dare you? That movie's the whole reason I joined the Army.
That's the whole reason Mike and I joined the Army, my good friend.
Half.
You're talking to two veterans. Because I wanted to do the Aunt Jemima effect to someone.
I'm guessing through both of your careers, you never thought to yourself, if only I could drive a military RV. I'm just saying the first half holds up.
I drove a military RV.
That's why I joined the Army, is to get the RV.
My G.I. Joe code name was going to be Long Weekend.
When I found out they were teaching me Czech, I was like, finally, I can invade with an RV.
And I
you, sir, are a communist.
All right. Well, let me. I do have one thing that just occurred to me. Scott Pilgrim, everybody's a dick in that movie, except for Nega Scott. And when I didn't realize it the first time I watched it, but I watched it the last time we were doing a podcast about it, which was a great podcast. You should check out our Scott Pilgrim podcast. But again, everybody in that was a dick, and I didn't realize it until watching it the last time.
That's a fair assessment.
Fair, it's true.
I recently watched Hawk the Slayer again. Still awesome.
I'm not sure that's true.
It is totally true. I bought it on Amazon Prime.
I'm $8.99
of pure gold, and I've watched it 5 times since. Not once sober. Not one time sober.
Fair enough.
Jack Palance's greatest role ever. Oddly enough, Jack Palance is going to bring us over to plugs. Hey, guys. Who's got something fun to plug?
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And also our fellow podcasters out there who we love, Cheryl Jones over at Movies Made Me. You can check them out at mmmpodcast.com. And then Seth Myers and the guys over at Who's Next Gaming at, cleverly enough, whosnextgaming.com.
Wow, those guys are good.
They are.
And they also have Gamer Needs Food Badly on their YouTube thing, which I always kind of find is fun, watching them overeat. I think the Black Bat Burger is my favorite now. Kind of gross, but still. Tommy, what do you got to plug there, buddy?
I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine T-shirts and other geeky things, such as Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, stained glass prints, etc. and so forth.
Official stained glass provider for John Barrowman, who, by the way, will be at Reno Pop Culture Con 2019, November 8th to 10th, just like we will, doing
That's
our
right.
horrible
and
stereotype panel.
LT, you're on board for that, right? You're going to be going down to Reno?
I am.
Oh, that's going to be a terrific show, guys. I wish I could be there with you. I'd like to thank Corbett Plastering. Yep, Corbett Plastering. When you want the John Doe right, call Corbett Plastering. I've been apprenticing with a plasterer over there just for fun. And let me tell you, you should all take a part-time job as plasterers just for the CrossFit effect. Lugging plaster up and down flights of stairs for hour after hour is pretty decent workout. Just saying.
I like you went for the Russian accent.
I did.
This is the Romanov plugs. In case you didn't know, the Russians, they invented podcasts. Well, I would like to plug Ananacon down in Stamford, Connecticut, the weekend of December 6th. There is a mildly good chance they'll let me run my sword classes again, even though I haven't heard back from them. But one of them might be listening. So I'm going to run that class, right, guys? Right. Friendly Neighborhood Comics, that place is clean. And just circling back to Geek Orthodox, I just want to thank Tammy for picking me up a New York Comic Con exclusive pin. Thanks, Tammy. I appreciate that.
And while we're thanking people, I'd like to thank Los Angeles Comic Con for hosting us this past weekend. It was a great con that I will give you more details on next week because we record this a week in advance. So I actually haven't been there yet. Or have I?
Josh. Josh is going to hate that podcast. Yes, he is. Playing with my dog while I do this. Well, I guess that just about does it for us this week. Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, got any last words for us?
Still looking for a job. Anybody got a job?
Someone get a job for this young man. And Atlantis, do you know who lives down there? Aqualad. Is that your sector, Josh?
No, that would be Springfield District Court.
Oh, you went too dark. You went dark, son. You went dark. And that'll about do it for us. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer. Thanks.
see her. I know Rob Liefeld will be there. I got to get a pouch for him to sign.
Oh, will you give me a signed pouch, too?
I'll just bring four and be like, hey, can you sign these?
Yeah, sign these pouches.
And if he's like,
do what? It! If he says,
why do you want me to sign these pouches? I'll be like, you know why. Just shut up and sign it, monkey boy. Sign it.